Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, something that's been on my heart for a week or two. And I want to just get it out there tonight, and hopefully it'll lift somebody up and help you to help you in your walk with the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the saints in Ephesus. He's talking to you and I here tonight, those that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. I want to talk about the washing of the word. Amen. The washing of the water by the word. And there's just something here that touched me, and hopefully it'll touch you here tonight. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated right now. And let's get right into the word of the Lord and see what's here in the word. We had a good Bible study last night, and we'll be having Bible study here on Tuesday night at 6:30. So if you're interested, come. We started a series on holiness, and it's very, very good when you get into the Word of God. You know, when we look at this very important part of living for the Lord, we can see that washing, that the washing is something that is very important and is very necessary for you and I. I read something on the internet today as I was preparing for tonight. They say that washing your physical body is sufficient every other day. However, two-thirds of Americans wash daily. Amen. And I'm not here tonight to give a class on hygiene. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. But I'm here tonight to talk about the need for spiritual cleansing on a regular basis. We know that by our very nature, we tend to get dirty, and it's actually the fabric of our makeup. We tend to attract dirt, and ladies understand this. They understand the need to clean their house on a regular basis. Somebody said amen. Amen. And the children understand the need to clean their room at least once every year or two. Amen. Well, praise God. Really, the more disciplined among us understand the benefits of being clean, and they do it on a regular and a consistent basis. And so with this in mind, we've all got to consider the need for a spiritual cleansing, not once every year or two. Praise the Lord. Amen. And being spiritually clean is important to the Lord, and it's so important that he will not accept us if we are not clean. And we must consider the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so the cleansing that we initially have in our life, amen, is the cleansing of God's power. Amen. And that's how we start. We start out with the redemptive purchase plan and purchase price that he paid so that we could be in the church. When we were baptized, well, I'll get off onto that here in just a minute, but the cleansing of the flesh and the spirit speaks of inward cleansing and outward cleansing. The inward cleansing of holiness and the outward cleansing of holiness. The inward cleansing or the inward part is talking about the heart, and it's talking about how clean the heart needs to be. And in the last days, the hearts of many will wax cold, but we've got to guard our hearts. Amen. And then the flesh speaks of an outward cleansing and an outward modesty, an outward show of holiness and godliness and purity. Praise God. And Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 talks about this, and it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration." Everybody said the washing of regeneration. The washing of regeneration, that's when you were baptized in Jesus' name. That's when you came to the altar and repented of your sins, amen, and you gave your life to God. So that's the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, amen. And so it starts out with the washing of regeneration, and it goes on and on and on by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And some have said that this implies that water baptism is not essential. I was talking to someone in Augusta, it's been quite a number of years ago, and I said, "We baptize in the name of Jesus." And he said, "It really doesn't matter, you're washed by the Word. And so if we get the Word, that's all that we need." That's a fallacy. It's not really true. It's not accurate. Because it is the Word that cleanses us after we have the washing of regeneration. It is a renewal. We must be renewed. We must be cleansed on a regular basis. Amen. And I would say tonight that baptism is absolutely essential for salvation. And that's not my words only. It's the words of Jesus. In John 3 and 5, he answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I was talking with someone yesterday or day before yesterday for about 45 minutes or an hour, and he had a lot of questions, and I brought up John 3 and 5, and he said, "Well, that's the water when you're born." I said, "No, it is the word, the Greek word, hudatus, and it means H2O. It means water." Amen. Real, genuine water. It's talking about baptism. Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, if you young men can hurry and get there. I'd like for you to look at these scriptures along with me. Everybody else, too, you brought your Bibles, didn't you? Amen. All right. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We die in repentance. We are buried in baptism. And we rise to walk in a newness of life in the power of the Holy Ghost. So that's what he was talking about. And then he makes this statement, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so we understand that an unbeliever will not be baptized. And so you could actually put that in there. "He that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned." And that's a pretty powerful statement there. But we must be initially washed when we come to God. Amen. We can't just grow up in the church and salvation comes to us through the process of osmosis. Amen. We've got to get it for ourselves. Amen. There's got to be a conversion in your mind and in your heart. There's got to be a change, a drastic change that brings about a revolution in your heart and a turnaround in your life. And if that happens at 9 or 10 years old, praise God for that. But if it takes a little bit longer, then it's going to take a little bit longer. You can't go to heaven just because mom and dad are in the church. Amen. You can't go to heaven just because Pastor Worth is your pastor and New Life Tabernacle is your church. Amen. We've all got to come to a place where we have a genuine conversion in our lives. Somebody said amen. Amen. Of course, Acts 2:38, we understand that. Probably every one of us here tonight could quote Acts 2:38. And if you can't, you need to memorize it and put it in your mind for good, because they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, not just a few, but every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And so the water is the cleansing. Amen. Repentance is where we turn away from our sins, or we are crucified with Him. And then once we have died out to the old lifestyle and the old ways of sin, then we must bury that old man in the watery grave of baptism. Praise God. What a glorious salvation we have here tonight. And cleansing has always been required by God in order to approach unto God. In the Old Testament, think about this, Israel had to go through the water in order to get Egypt off of them. Amen. They could not be saved in Egypt. They could not find their potential in God while they were in Egypt. They had to come out. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Amen. So we have a tendency to touch unclean things, probably because we live in an unclean world. And it's almost like the world is throwing mud balls at the church, and every now and then it hits you and you've got to get washed. Amen. In the Old Testament, they had to pass through the water for cleansing. In the Old Testament, the priest had to wash in the laver before he entered into the tabernacle, or he would be killed by the Lord. Amen. That's in more than one place in the Old Testament. And so the gospel message brings salvation through the obedience to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when we repent, we turn around, as I've said, and we turn our backs on sin and come to God. But the cleansing of our sins takes place when we're baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And, of course, I thought about this as a new convert. I didn't understand, and in those days they didn't have Bible studies. And, in fact, my pastor was kind of against Bible studies at that time. He was more footloose and free and just bring people to church and pray them through to the Holy Ghost. But there's something about a Bible study that will help you. And I had to learn some of these things by myself. But the question arose in my heart, and some people, I think, probably believe this, that the question arises, should we be rebaptized every time we sin? Amen. I know that in some churches, not very many, but in some churches, if you have sinned, you got to get rebaptized. Well, that'll keep the water stirred up in the baptistry, and we could say that we baptized 15 or 20 this week. Amen. But we may only have 15 or 20 in the church. Amen. And so that was my question in my heart. And where does cleansing come from? Cleansing for my whole life, not just when I started out with God. And I started out, and it was wonderful when I started out. And I know it was for you too. But how do we become cleansed or clean our whole existence in this world and be saved? Amen. We've got to enter into this filthy world. Once we walk out of the doors of the church, you see it on billboards. It'll pop up on your phone. It's everywhere. Amen. It's everywhere. And if we're not careful, the temptations of this world will begin to take hold in your heart, and before you know it, you're spiritually cold. And folks, we cannot afford to be spiritually cold. And it's the environment that we live in, and it will rub off on you. And so what do we do? How in the world can we become more like Him and clean enough to make it to heaven? Those are very important questions, and questions that we need to seek the Lord for answers. Everybody's different. Everybody's got a weakness that's different than others. But we can make it. We can be saved. Our salvation is great. Amen. It's an awesome salvation. And God gave it to us so that we could be saved. And so some people have come up with a solution to this problem and have said, well, we believe once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're cleansed by the Word, once you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, you don't have to be cleansed anymore. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to live right or tell the truth. You can live any way you want to be. You can be the devil's brother-in-law. Amen. And you can just live any way you want to live and still go to heaven. But that really flies in the face of Scripture. The gentleman I was talking to yesterday or day before yesterday, I think it was Monday in the morning, and he said he used to believe in once saved, always saved, but he said the more I got into the Word of God, the more I realized that my name could be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and he does not believe that anymore. But there are many places in which they still preach and believe this doctrine, and some of them are quite large. I can see why and understand why. Amen. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 and 27, we read it in the scripture text tonight, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Amen. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Who's this written to? It's written to his bride. It is written to the one that he wants to live with him for all of eternity. And so why does she need to be cleansed? Why is it important that we consider this and work this out in our life? She had her initial cleansing at the new birth, but the reason is exactly what I'm bringing out here tonight. We all need a regular washing. Amen. It's not once saved, always saved, but we must be renewed in the Holy Ghost and renewed in our spirit, cleansed in our spirit, spirit. And so the answer is obvious. We've got to be washed by the water of the Word. and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to talk altogether about the renewing of the Holy Ghost tonight, but I'm going to talk about the washing of the water by the Word. Amen. The Word and the Spirit are essential for salvation. Cleansing and the Spirit, the water and the Spirit. Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So the water and the Spirit are essential for our salvation. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Maintaining a walk with God is essential. It's not enough just to start out. It's not enough to speak in tongues one time. Amen. It's not enough to come to the altar one time. Amen. But it is a continual washing just like you do in the physical sense. Amen. And if we look at the Old Testament tabernacle, we'll look at some things here, or one scripture rather. And without the washing, God would not accept them. What is important to the Lord should be important to us. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 36, the first thing that I see in Scripture is that the altar must be clean. So we're cleaning things in our life. Exodus 29 and verse 36, and thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering. How often? Every day for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. Amen. We've got to come to a clean altar. Well, praise the Lord. We can't come to the altar and then walk away and do the same thing over and over again. Amen. But we need to wash the altar and clean the altar so that when we come and we pray at the altar, we're coming in sincerity and in truth. Praise God. It'll make a different altar call. Amen. It'll be an anointed time at the altar when it is cleansed. Not only that, in the Old Testament, the house had to be clean. I would say tonight that what goes on in our house is very, very important. Amen. And it talks here about leprosy in the house, which we could look at today and say is mold. Amen. Because a house can't sin. But it says here in Leviticus 14 and 48, it talks about cleansing the house. And I'm not going to go into detail here tonight, but you can see when we read this that it's pretty intense. Amen. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, that would be look upon the house, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. And here's what they have to do. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running of water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. Amen. That's pretty complicated when you look at that. Wow, we've got to go through all of these ceremonies to clean the house. Well, sometimes when folks have come to the Lord, there's a lot of cleanup that you've got to do in your house. But just because you cleaned your house, and I'm not talking about physically here tonight, although that would apply in another sense, cleaning our house spiritually, amen. It's important what books we bring into our house. Amen. Pornography is not accepted. Amen. It's not acceptable. Praise God. The world is not acceptable. In order to clean the house, God gave them all these specific directions. Not only did the altar and the house have to be cleansed, but the nation itself had to be cleansed in order to enjoy the blessings of God. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 18 and verse 19. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanliness or the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And so the priest had to offer a sacrifice for the nation. Amen. The nation had to be clean because here he says from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Cultures have a way of leading us in different directions. And I'll tell you, there is a war on our culture here in America. And young people, listen to this. What everybody says is cool isn't necessarily cool. What somebody says is right and is okay doesn't mean that it's okay. Amen. Because we are living in a time when our culture is being corrupted. And it's all right to sin. It's all right to kill. It's all right to commit all sorts of abominations. Amen. And these things press upon the church. Amen. Some mainline churches, the Presbyterian Church had their conference in Wichita quite a few years ago. And one of the things that they were considering was whether or not Sophia was the creator of the universe. Amen. And they did sacrifices to this ancient God, and this was in a Presbyterian conference. Amen. We're looking at a time in many religions. The Methodist Church is just about to split. Heard that just recently over the issue of homosexuals in the church and homosexuals in the pulpit. Amen. We should love everybody, and we should try to help everybody. But folks, as long as I'm here, we're not going to have that in our church. Amen. Why? Because the nation's got to stay clean. Amen. We've got to get some things out of the nation sometimes. And thank God we have a president that's going to the swamp. Amen. And he's been slugging it out down there. But I'll tell you what, hopefully he can get it cleaned up so the next person can keep it clean. Amen. We didn't realize how dirty that swamp is, but I've got a feeling that the Capitol building of our state is that way. And the Capitol building of every state is that way. And not only that, the city council and the mayors and all of our leaders, the Bible says that it is spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. What we need in America is a cleansing. Praise God. Amen. What we need in our country is a cleansing. And it gets a little bit complicated here to clean up the house and to clean up the nation. And they never did figure this out. They never got it down pat. And they eventually found themselves under the judgment of God because they didn't understand the need to renew their commitments and renew by the Word of God. They got away from the Word of God. Folks, we can't afford to get away from the Word of God. And I want to show you some more here tonight. And it's not just for the nation, the altar, and our house, but it's for us individually. And we must cleanse ourselves to receive the blessings of God. There in Leviticus 16, go to verse 30, and it says, "For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." And so in the Old Testament, the priest was designed or designated to be the one to offer a sacrifice. Now, we know that all these sacrifices and all that, they were performed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, right? We understand that tonight. But here, the Lord made it a priority that I look at myself. I look in the mirror, and I must be clean. Not only that, and I could go on and on here, but the next one I wanted to bring out is that the ministry must be cleansed on a regular basis. Numbers chapter 8 and verses 6 and 7. Numbers chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them, and thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, so make themselves clean." Amen. And so it was very important. I've already mentioned this, but we're living in a culture today where the ministry does not have any standards. It really doesn't matter. But I pray tonight that God would help me and help every apostolic preacher, amen, to find a place of consistent prayer and the Word of God so that we can be used by the Lord. Amen. What we wear, amen, our clothes, Numbers chapter 8, verse 21. "And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them." And so the clothes had to be washed. I hope you can get an understanding here that every part of our walk with God, we've got to understand the need for cleanliness and purity and holiness. And so what we wear needs to be modest. What we wear needs to present holiness and righteousness. It's not what makes us righteous, but it protects us and shields us from the filthiness of this world. Amen. I'm glad that we've got young people that like to dress up when they come to church. Come on, Mom and Dad, help me here tonight. And I know that you're the one that has told them they need to do this, but it's exciting to see young people that look at the church and the worship at the church as something that's very important. Amen. We're not going to start coming to church with holes in our pants. Amen. With bebop tennis shoes on and, spiked hair and mohawks and whatever else. We're not going to start that, and we don't have a problem with that, thank God. Well, praise the Lord. And I pray tonight that we would see the real importance of regular attendance to the house of God. Come on, somebody. Not out of obligation, but out of a desire to be clean. Amen. And I want to just show you something here, how we can be washed. We need the preaching of the Word of God. By the washing of the water by the Word. Amen. We need the preaching of the Word of God. And it's got to be a regular thing. You say, well, I read my Bible. That's good, but that's not enough. We've got to have preaching. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear without a preacher? We've got to have the preaching of the Word of God. And I'll show it to you before we finish here tonight. We've got to look at our righteousness and our spiritual garments. Amen. Because it can't have a spot or a blemish or a wrinkle. Amen. I iron my clothes before I come to church. I think it's important that it looks right. And it is right. Amen. I don't want to come before the Lord with wrinkles in my spiritual garment or ketchup stains or mustard stains on my spiritual garment, but I want to be pure and clean before the presence of God. And if you don't believe it, read Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. I won't read the whole thing, but it talks about 10 virgins. They took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They were on their way to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were diligent and 5 of them were not diligent. And we've got to have our lamps full, and it happens by the washing of the water by the word. Amen. It actually implies here, our text scripture tonight actually implies that when we hear the word of God and we do it, amen, that it's like being baptized all over again. Somebody said amen. And if you look at it, how many of you remember the night you were baptized or the day that you were baptized? And the purity that you felt, and the cleansing that you felt. I felt like I was 3 feet off the ground. I never felt so clean in my whole life. It was a real experience. Amen. And in the very same way, how many times have you come to the house of God spiritually dirty? I'm not talking about backslid. I'm not talking about desiring to leave God and all of that, but I'm talking about you've been rubbing shoulders with the world all week long, and you've got a need in your life, and that was the very service that God spoke to you by the preaching of the Word of God. If it was the pastor, if it was the evangelist, or one of the elders, and how clean and good you felt when you walked back outside the door. You could actually say, when that happens, I've been baptized again by the Word of God. I've been washed again by the Word of God. Amen. And I've been born again. Praise God. Yes, we're saved through baptism, but after we're saved, it's going to be through the preaching of the Word of God. Are you all with me here tonight? James chapter 4, verse 10, 8 through 10. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up. Praise God. That's what we need, is to be lifted up by God into heavenly places so that we can be renewed on a continual basis. And if we sin, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. This cleansing of sins, you look at it and you do a little bit of study on your own and look at it, you'll find that divine healing and the cleansing of sin are almost synonymous with each other. Amen. Because there is a cleansing spiritually when we are saved and when we are renewed. There's one scripture that says, if any be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had sinned, he shall be forgiven. Praise God. There is a physical healing when there is a spiritual healing. We've got to have this cleansing, church. We've got to have this cleansing on a regular basis. Praise God. Thank God tonight. Now, I'm going to finish here. And let's all stand together right now. But thank God for a way to be saved. And thank God for a way to be saved 20 years from now. 30 years from now. 50 years from now. 100 years from now. If any of you live to be that old, amen. But it can be done, and we don't need to get discouraged because of sin. What we need to do is say, thank God I got back to the house of God one more time, and I'm going to let the Word of God just wash me. I'm going to let the Word of God just cleanse me. It's going to be like a river of living water that washes and cleanses, and I can come in with my head down, but I can leave with my head up. Praise God. So don't ever let the enemy beat you down over things that are under the blood. Amen. Get up from your baptism of the Word, and I think we ought to shout out to God and say, thank you, Lord, for a renewing in the Word. And thank God for a place of forgiveness. Amen. If we sin, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Praise God. Thank God for that. And I look at it this way, that each day that we offer a new sacrifice, and so each day is an opportunity to be clean and refreshed in the Lord. Amen. Can we just fall in love? Can we just fall in love with this way? Praise God. Every day, Levites, you've got to offer a sacrifice. Offer a sacrifice for the people. Offer a sacrifice for yourself. Amen, because this is a brand new day. I want to be happy every day. How about you? I want to have hopefulness each and every day that I live. Praise God. Doesn't mean that every day is going to be perfect. And it certainly doesn't mean that everything's going to work out the way we want it to work out. Somebody said amen. Amen. Doesn't mean that we don't get discouraged, but we don't let that discouragement destroy us. But what we do is we come back to the house of God and we hear the Word. Amen. We get our Word out. We read it. We're washed by the Word over and over and over again. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you. I thank you tonight for these that are here. I give you honor and I give you praise for your mercy and your goodness and your grace to your people. Lord, we're but dust, and you know our frame and you know where we're coming from. But Lord, you care about us so very much that you've made a way for us to be renewed, refreshed, renewed, and regenerated by your Word. Thank you for initial salvation. But Lord, we need a touch on a regular basis. Help us to seek your face and to do your will in Jesus' name tonight. Somebody said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord thanks right now. Let's give him thanks from our heart.